Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight I am proud to bring you the first episode of the CAC and CAT Show, in which a prolific author and a renowned marketer discuss publishing. Greetings and welcome, CAC.
Thank you very much, Hercules. And usually on The Art of Healing, I interview people who have written a book. And we talk about their book, we talk about what's in it, what led them to write the book. But tonight, we have a special treat for our listeners. And I'm going to invite a very special person on. And Kat Neff is a top flight publicist in the mind, body, spirit arena. She has 20 years of experience in the publishing world, and she's worked with hundreds of authors to create successful broadcast, online, and print media publicity. This has resulted in numerous national and international bookings and also awards. She regularly presents information on all facets of book publishing when she has a chance. Well, tonight we have that chance. With us tonight we have marketing director from Llewellyn Worldwide, Kat Neff. Welcome, Kat.
Oh, thank you. But after that wonderful introduction, if I can live up to the press there, yeah. So,
well, yes, you do, and you're being quite shy at the moment, but I understand. For a complete transparency here, I am an author for Llewellyn. I've published with them two or three books, and Kat has always been the marketing director, and we've always had a great time. So we decided at the urging of Hercules to create the CAC and CAT show for this one wonderful time in December. And our purpose tonight is to tell our listeners or to give our listeners an idea into how a book gets published from idea to retail shelves. And so we're going to go through some of that stuff and tell you some inside information because, you know, if you've got this great idea but you don't know how to get it to a publisher or anything, we're going to tell you how to do that, what you need, and it's far more complex than you ever thought. And I say that for myself because I had no idea. I had so much work to do after I said I'd like to write a book. So, Kat, why don't we start, and you know the market, and you can talk about what people need to do before they even begin to write a book.
That's right. I think that the first thing you want to do if you have an idea to write a book is to research publishers and take a look around to see who's writing books that are similar to yours, who might be next to yours on the shelf, and get some catalogs. Just really research who it is that you identify with as a possible publisher. And you don't have to pick just one. There can be a couple.
So what you're saying is really know your market. Find out who's
yes.
publishing what types of titles they go for, and, you know, what genre. You don't want to pitch a publisher of mystery writers if you're going to do an introduction to tap dancing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Because the publishers will know, you know, so it's good to have that in your pocket, you know, so...
Well, I know from being in the television business for 30-some years that if people came on the show or people wanted to talk to me about getting a job at, let's say, Universal Studios or something, and they would come to me without knowing anything about what Universal did or what we were all about, or, you know, they didn't know anything about our purpose. They would just come and say, hey, look at me, I'm spectacular, hire me. And my question would be, why would I want to do that? What possibly? So it's really important, like Kat says, to know your market and research other titles too. I had to do that. Well, that's part of putting the marketing piece together, which we'll get to. But you really have to find out the books that are like yours and who publishes them. And if you can, and here's the gold, is to find out how well they did in sales. Because if you know those kinds of numbers, then you're really going to impress the publisher that you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm. And take a page out of the author's book. If they sold a lot, then what did they do to do that?
Yes. And I know... you had a great answer to something, and that's because I told you a little story when we were doing some preliminary chatting about this. But I have a friend who is a famous former television personality, and he wrote a book all about his journey from being a star to dating stars to ups and downs of his life, and then how he found himself, what he went through, then he was disinherited from his family, and how did he come back? How did he struggle to do that? And then the agent that I was helping him submit this to, because it was a very powerful story, said to me, well, what's his social media platform? How many followers does he have?
Mm-hmm.
And I said,
What?
The story, it's amazing. And his response was, well, so who's gonna care? Kat, I want to get your response to that.
Well, I think that I'm hearing this from other publishers, too, is that the pandemic itself, you know, starting in 2020, got many people contemplating their lives. There's the Great Resignation, and a lot of people started writing their personal stories. And I think that in some ways, the publishers are getting a lot of those personal stories. In writing those, it's important to, if you want other people to read it, make it relatable. You know, something that people can, you know, get on the same page with you in regard to what you're writing.
Yeah, and I think I have learned that even from the Llewellyn editors when I was working on a book, is nobody kind of cares about what you think. They're buying the book to learn something. So you want to give them the information that will help them instead of saying, you know, I was, instead of retelling your story over and over and over, give them something that they can learn.
Yeah, I mean, that's really it, is that community is about connection. And so if you're talking about yourself, unless someone knows you personally, it's not really going to be something that they're going to relate to and understand. You know, as far as like a successful community is making sure that you have a good social media platform, like we were talking about just now, that your website is something where people can go and learn things and see things that are interesting, and also be out there in the community. Do you teach on your topic? What is the thing that makes you the person to write this book? And those are all important things that you'll need to spell out when you create the proposal, which Kak and I will talk about in just a moment.
Yeah. And I think definitely the point of view that you're taking, how you're writing, is to bring them into the sentence, bring them into the conversation in your writing so that they have immediately, they have a way to connect and a takeaway. What have I learned from this? Huh, that was interesting.
That was interesting.
Oh, well, little music, little free music. Yeah, and I think, and I'll tell another little story. Back when I was a producer in television, I had a series on the air for a major client, Procter & Gamble, and it was featuring the cooking products divisions. And we had a wonderful homemaker who did wonderful things, and we were surprised. The first week, we got 2,000 fan letters, and they consider that really good. And then they asked me to do a show for the cleaning products people. And I said, okay, that's a little harder. Let me scratch my head a little bit. And then I remembered a pair of authors, a pair of sisters. They called themselves the Slob Sisters. And they had written books for – they'd written books for Warner's called The Sidetracked Home Executives. And they told stories on themselves about being sidetracked and not following through and losing things and spending the whole day doing, you know, making costumes but not getting dinner ready, things like that. Well, it was hilarious and it was fun and it was, and they were on national book tours. Warner's flew them all over the country and they did all the talk shows, Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, Florida, all of this. They were, you know, they were celebrities, and they had handlers that would meet them at the airport and take them to the hotel, and they made appearances and book signings, and, you know, it was like, they were like real celebrities, and I think they did about four or five books. So I called them up and said, hey, would you like to do a television show? And we laughed our way through 4 years of being on the air because they were so funny, and people related to their kind of humor and their kind of mistakes, you know, and like 1 year they decided to plant some vegetables and they had cabbages the size of watermelons. So then they decided they were going to sell them out on the street. Well, you know, it was hilarious, all of their activities. So we did make a television show out of it, but it was, again, really relatable, and I went after them, and they didn't know anything about television. So, but that's back in the day. Now, those kind of book tours really don't happen anymore. They're very, very different for authors. And Kat, tell us a little bit about, from your side, what it looks like now.
Well, I think that you know, I've heard this from a few different people about wanting to be a New York Times bestseller on your first book. So that's not reality. So I think that part of what I do is give reality checks about certain things. So there's no limos and big hotels and that kind of thing happening today. And television is a lot harder to get on recently because of all of the political and the news landscape that's not really relatable. So, you know, print is good, online is good, things of that nature. So the way that it really works today is that publishers are considering people who are visible. So they have a good website, they have a good community, they have social media with a lot of followers who really dig what they're doing. Their online teaching or their in-person teaching. There's more online seminars and webinars and such that people are really getting interested in, and the birth of the podcast. Podcasts are huge. So really it's important for someone who really wants to write a book and become a professional author to think about all of those things, like what do they bring to the party? That's you know, in addition to their book. One thing I've run into too with people is that they will assume they'll look at, you know, famous authors and say, gee, it just comes to them naturally. I said, no, writing is a skill. Writing is a skill that you learn how to do and you practice it. So it doesn't have, nothing happens by accident at all.
Right, and I think some authors think, well, let me just throw some stuff together, and then the editor can sort it out, and, you know, and it will be just good. au contraire, you have to send in a pretty well thought out manuscript. Now, let's talk about how you pitch a publisher. Let's talk about that and what you need to have in order to pitch your book, the great idea that you have that you want to sell millions and millions of books.
Yes. So it's important to have a good proposal put together. And that is going to contain a lot of different things that's going to inform the publisher about whether you're going to be somebody that they're going to want to spend money on to publish the book. And so what I would also say is that people shouldn't spend a lot of money before getting with the publisher for an editor and that kind of thing, because things might change, developmental editing goes, but I'm getting a little ahead of myself. So let's talk about what a good proposal contains. What it's going to contain at the beginning is this person will be introducing themselves. You're going to want to talk about your background, what inspired you to write the book, why you are the person to write the book. Is this your area of expertise? Are you able to bring things to the party that no one else does? So those are things that you want to explore in your proposal. You'll need an overview of the book, a chapter outline, your intended audience. It's very important that you know who you understand is going to be buying your book. You know, your the platforms that you have, your social media, website, all of that stuff, that's important to bring to the party. And titles that would be comparable to yours, that would be in the same section of the shelf. But what is your book going to be different? How is it going to be different? What new thing does it bring to this particular party? So compare those titles, and then you'll want to, if you haven't, you know, if you're a first-time writer, it's useful to also supply three chapters, your first three chapters, just so they can get an idea of how you put your words together.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, so it should be, there are helpful links online that will tell you what goes in a book proposal. But Kat is absolutely right. You have to say, you know, here's why I'm the person to write this book apart from anybody else in the world, because I know this, I do this, I think this, and I can share this. So when you get that really clear in your mind, then you can say, okay, it might be time for me to find out what other kind of books are out there in this genre. You might even find that someone has written a book using your title. Now, you can't copyright a title, but you don't want to go out there and compete with the same title. So you'd want to modify your title a little bit, yes. And then you also want to talk, what's your book about? And give the person who's reading your proposal, whether it's the publisher or an agent, what is the book about? Where does it start? What's in the middle? What happens? And how do you wrap it up? What is kind of like the takeaway? Why would people read this book from you that would then help them live a better life? And then you go into a table of contents. So really, before you put your proposal together, you've got to think this through. You've got to know what kind of chapters you're going to write and what you're going to reveal and how the book is going to develop. And then, as Kat said, you want some sample chapters. So you might write chapter 1 and chapter 12 and chapter 18. You might want to spread it around so people could see how that happens. Or just 1, 2, 3. It takes a lot of work to put a book proposal together in order to sell the project. That's something I learned first up, you know, because I thought, well, hey, I have all these credits and shouldn't they just, you know, really want to work with me? No, I had to audition and audition and audition until I could really prove that I was the one that they should put their money on, that they should be ready to gamble on me. And then they check that out to make sure that you really, I'm talking about the publisher here, that you really can deliver, and they want to see your social media, and they want to see, you know, past responses on that too. It takes a lot of money to make a book ready to go off into the marketplace.
It really does. And it takes a lot of focus and a lot of preparation, more than ever before. There's the book publishing market is very competitive, and even if you know, just to talk about being turned down, is it may be that that publisher has just published a book on a similar topic. They don't really do that, so you know, making sure that you're presenting to the right people with the right stuff, that's going to get you further. And every time if you get a rejection, learn from that rejection. You know, find out what the critique is. You know, find out what it is about your book proposal that, you know, did it need more? Did it need less? You know, so that's really important to communicate with the folks that you're pitching to.
Yeah, and that's, of course, assuming that you've done your research, you know what the publisher publishes, and you kind of know what they've put out in the past year. And that's sometimes it can be easy to find out and sometimes difficult. I've spent many hours in a bookstore just looking at the genre that I'm working in and seeing how many books are out there and what the titles are, and take a little snapshot on my camera so I can go back and remember who my competition is. And then make my book different. You know, then I have to make mine different. So it's just not all the same, because why would they do that? Why would they, you know, why would they do that? And then I think another thing that you have to know about is how to present yourself on camera. Now, if you have experience online doing a lot of Facebook or doing Zoom or Skypes and things, then you know how to present yourself on camera for interviews or for things that you will be up for. And not every interview is on Skype or using video, but most of them are now, and some are just on the telephone. But you have to know how to handle technology and how to handle yourself on camera, how to light yourself well. And, you know, and dressing, you and I were having a good laugh about what you have to tell people to wear. You take that. It was funny.
Yes, yes. Well, essentially, you know, I had an author who would tend to wear very dark clothing. And I said, well, if you're going to be going on this television show, the morning show in Chicago called The Morning Blend, I said, you need to wear something a little bit lighter and brighter. You're also going to need to use a little more makeup than you're used to. You know, just so you stand out and you don't get washed away by all the hot lights. So it's really important to have that. And also, you know, there's more and more things that people need that they can find useful. For example, I think that at that time we were also talking about what's called media training, because a lot of podcasts and all that are becoming very professional, and they need to have somebody who's ready to be interviewed. So it's not just, you can't just get up there and, you know, do things. It's important to rehearse what you're going to say, you know, even in the mirror, that kind of thing. You know, just film yourself with your phone on the camera on your phone, and also look up resources online as to how to best present yourself in a video situation.
Yes. Yes, and I think that Udemy has really, really inexpensive courses on how to keep eye contact with a camera. I mean, you know, you're looking at a split screen of other people, and you don't stare at them. You look right into your camera, and if that's on your laptop, you're always looking at the top of the frame and not really at the people. And that's you just really have to see the camera, that lens, as a person. Every actor and actress has to learn about that. And you also have to know about how your voice sounds. And I know this is kind of strange, but sometimes people come on with really squeaky, annoying find it. And you have to learn, you really have to learn how to lower that voice so that it doesn't, you know, break anybody's eardrums. And another thing I found out is that if you have a takeaway or you have a handout or you have a download that you can give people, you know, 5 points of whatever it is you're talking about, you'll see that on the news and the morning shows a lot. They'll have, you know, a little slide presentation, PowerPoint, that there are things that are notated. But people love that. They love to have that. And that's a way that you can get people to go to your website and go to your social media, is by giving a handout or a download or something. Give something away free that's about the topic you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Right. And when we're talking to podcasts, and podcasts have become huge, as everybody knows, gosh, I forgot my thought. But with podcasts and all that, there's a certain amount of preparation that's involved too. And this is talking about, you know, as an author, it's important to partner with your publisher and fully participate in the publicity and marketing of your book. And that's going to be before and after it's published and continuing after that. So, and most publishers will be able to give you a timeline of how that happens.
Yeah, I think that's really good. And it's not hard to find podcasts. I mean, you can find the type of podcast and start to make lists of what podcast you want to be on. I mean, I remember when we were doing my first book, you gave me a list of some people that I wanted to, that you suggested I contact. But, and some of it you did, but you can't take care of all your authors. You've got hundreds of authors. You've got to have the author do that. So there I went out cold calling all these people on the podcast, but I made friends. I mean, I have to tell you that one of the greatest gifts of working with Llewellyn and working with any publisher is making friends of people across the world by just saying, could I be on your podcast, sending them the book or giving them a PDF of it, having them, and then you have to prepare, or here's another point, you have to prepare a list of questions for them that is pertinent to your book. So if go ahead, Kat.
Well, one of the things that I've been creating, I brought the podcast because many podcasts are requiring that you come up with materials to support your appearance. There's going to be a description of what the interview would be, and basically what you bring to the party, you know, what your listeners will learn, you know, within that interview. They, of course, want at least 10 questions / talking points that they can hop out of, that you, on topics that you're going to answer with information from your book that you'd like to present. And so I know it sounds like sounds convoluted, but it's easier than it sounds. So I've been creating booking sheets, which is something that is really useful to budding authors to, you know, talk about that description, you know, have a bio of yourself on the sheet, 10 questions, and then it's an interactive document that you can mail, and there'll be a couple of boxes on there that you can, you know, put a link to a meditation or whatever you have to offer people. The listeners get very excited about that.
Yeah, and I think that's another point, too. As an author, if you are booked on a podcast or, you know, even a video cast, they will, many times they'll send you a very long form that you have to fill out each time, and they want to know all those things and more. So what I create is a media file for each book that I write. So I've got my crystal book, and I have the crystal media file where I have my picture, I have my short bio, I have a couple lengths of my bio depending on what the people want. I have my bio there, I have pertinent questions, I have subject matters. Sometimes they even want an article that is a leave behind, or they want you to guest write on their website. So you have a sample of a short article or something, again, a takeaway, a handout, something that they can have. And that helps them, and it also helps you focus the material, because you might want to talk about subjects A, B, and G, and they want to talk about C, but you know that your book has to be talked about or revealed in a certain progression. So it's the way that you control the interview subtly by giving them the questions that you want to answer.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It really gives you the opportunity to, you know, get into the driver's seat of the interview. I think that folks should remember this when they're interviewing with people, is that some podcast hosts will read the book, some will read some of it, and some will not read it at all. And so the assumption is that if you have a new book to promote, is that people don't know anything about it. So having questions that reference things in the book don't really work. You know, you want to bring that information out to them so they get hungry to read your book.
And I now create a synopsis of my books to send out to the people that are going to be interviewing me. And so I will say, this mm-hmm. book is about, and the reason that I wrote it, and here's what you will learn, and here's, so I pretty much lay it out for them as to what, it's just a one page, but they get the mm-hmm. gist of the book, so they don't feel the pressure to stay up all night and use their highlighter and highlight things they want to ask. So they feel secure with you
yeah.
when you hand them an easy way to interview you.
Yes, and actually in working with media, as I have for a while, the more prepared you can come to the party with, the more information you can supply to them, anecdotes, questions, that kind of thing, they really appreciate it, and they will rebook you on their show. So that's really helpful. You've had this happen, you've made friends with the folks that I connected you with, and yeah. And so it's a really great way to your first tour around, you get to know everybody, and then you can go back with your second book and get booked again on that show.
Yes, and I think that our partnership has been, I have also given you names of other of podcasts that I found or somebody referred me to, and I've given you the name mm-hmm. of that person so you can use it for your other authors. It's really a reciprocal exchange relationship that I think you need to have with your publicist. And I can tell a short mm-hmm. story about Barnes & Noble in New York. So I was on the Upper West Side one Christmas, and I walked in there, and they had this absolutely beautiful lecture hall. And, you know, it's just lined floor to ceiling. There are about five stories of this particular bookstore. So I called Kat and said, Kat, can you book me there? I would love to pitch my, I think this was the Healing Oils book, the Healing Art mm-hmm. of Essential Oils. And Kat just kind of said, well, now, here's what Barnes & Noble requires. You have to supply your own audience. They're there to sell books. They don't want to call up all their friends and get them there for your audience. I said, really? She said, yeah. And it was a big room. It's like 100 people. And I thought, well, I could probably get 25 of my friends in New York to show up. But it's all about they want to sell books, too. That's their profit. And so I was really shocked at that time. I thought, well, gosh, okay. but, yeah, that was like an awakening for me.
Yep. And really, like, as far as, like, bookstores go, big stores like Barnes & Noble, you know, like chains of that nature, Books A Million, that kind of thing, their preference is to be approached by the publisher. So with local stores, like with your bookstores in your neighborhood and all that, you get a better result at getting booking for an event. So you go in there in person as a local author. People love that. And so
well, they do.
The local Barnes & Nobles do, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the local Barnes & Noble, yes, in my town, I've done that there. And also one booking you guys got me in New York City was wonderful. I have a nice relationship with that bookstore. And what I offered them, besides the book signing, was a little lecture. You do about a 45-minute lecture about your subject, and then you do a book signing. And then I did a workshop after that, a two-hour workshop. And people had to pay for that. So that was kind of like a little bonus for me to make it worth my while. Because the book sales, I would only get a certain percentage. The bookstore would make its profit. The book publisher, Llewellyn, would make its profit. And then I would make my well, I guess my royalty on top of that.
Yeah, your royalty.
But, yeah, what was great is that I did this workshop, and then that drew more people, so that when the next book came out, they were all excited to have me because it also drew people into their bookstore. So I think we have to, as authors, we have to look at what is good for the publisher, what is good for the bookstore, what is good for everybody. Everybody has to win, and you use the word community, and that's the key.
Yes, it really is. You know, as far as like, and also an important thing too is, in addition to connecting with the bookstores, is make sure you connect with your local libraries, because they do what they call adult programming, and then they'll have a children's program. So you can go in and do talks in your local library. They love that. So
yes,
you know, something that
group.
Some of us forget.
Yep, senior groups too have senior centers where they like to listen to people come in and talk. I mean, I remember a self-published book I had up in Cambria. I used to go and talk to the seniors, and they all bought my book. They all were very excited about the subject. Some of them hadn't heard about it. And I know people are there probably getting their fans out and saying, oh, Lord, I didn't know I had to do so much. I thought I just had to write the book. But that's the truth. I mean, it's a full-time job when you're an author, and you have to think of all these avenues.
Yeah, I mean, an in-house publicist can offer a certain amount of work, but oftentimes they're working on several books at a time. There's no individual publicist that's assigned to your book any longer. And if you find that you need somebody who is going to give you focused attention, an outside publicist, your own personal publicist, is something to consider. You can get proposals from them and all that, but they provide a whole list of places they're going to approach on your behalf. And they also provide what the publishing house publicist can't, which are status reports. And so if this is something that you want to partner with an outside publicist who can also teach you more about how to promote yourself, it's worthwhile to look into.
And that, I have found, is a new and kind of burgeoning opportunity for individuals out there, because these little PR firms have come up, not the big, huge ones that handle the big advertising agencies, but the smaller boutique PR companies will take on an author and say, great, I'm going to get you all these bookings. And they have a roster of people that they call, you know, and I frequently call them and say, hey, I've got an open date in March for my Art of Healing podcast. Who do you have? So I get a lot of wonderful people that way. And, you know, like I said, friends, I have wonderful amount of friends out of this whole experience. So you have to get over the shock that there's more to it than writing a book. You've got to convince somebody why they should publish your book. You can self-publish. There's Kindle, there's Amazon, there's all that. But who goes there? How are you going to publicize it? How are you going to get eyeballs there? How are you going to do that? So I can't say that I've had a lot of success on Amazon Kindle writing books. I've had more success with publishers because they have the big D, distribution. Talk yes. about that, Kat.
Yes. I definitely can. This is something that I talk about when I'm on publishing panels, too, is that one thing people don't think about, I'm going to publish my own book, and that means I can, you know, say how it's going to go and all that. Your editor is actually going to guide you to help your book to, you know, sell better. But, you know, really distribution is what you want to get. And what that means is like a publishing house should be able to get your books to, you know, across into what's called book distributors. And they in turn sell to the stores. And so some stores will buy directly from a publisher, but it's easier to go through a distributor because that way they can get one of this book, two of this book, and really, you know, get it out there. International distribution is important too. If you want to have your book be overseas, if you want it in the UK, if you want it in France, all around there, you know, published in English. There's difference too with foreign rights, which means that your book is picked up by a publisher that publishes in a certain language, and the rights or the royalties are the same as if you do, you know, something here in the States. And so that's something that's a topic for another day probably, but really you want a publisher who's going to get your book as many places as possible.
Yes, and that's another interesting revenue source for a published author is that, you know, one day I got a book in the mail, which was my book translated into Russian, and mm-hmm. there it was. They did a beautiful job. I was really surprised, but there was my crystal book in Russian, and I did like it. I think I've had mm-hmm. another book published in Spanish. So it's just great to know that other people around the world are reading your work, and that's not something I could negotiate, or I wouldn't even know who to talk to. So that's how a publisher and a distributor. Now there's also some secrets here about the distribution that I've learned, and that is there's like two mm-hmm. main publishers or two main distributors that you really have to be in their catalog if you want to get across the country and get shelf space. It's like a supermarket, you know. Companies fight mm-hmm. for shelf space, and that's what the distributors yeah. do. The big ones have all the power, so you want to get a publisher who's really automatically hooked up with the big distributors, mm-hmm. and that's so important.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and that goes along with doing the research on the publishing houses that you could potentially partner with for your book. It's like, where are those books going? Does everybody have access to it? So that's really an important thing. And to roll back to the self-publishing thing is that if you think you're working hard working with a publishing house, you're going to work extra hard if you're doing all of the publicity, marketing, and sales of your particular book. That's a lot.
Well, it is, and there are some little companies out there that say, oh, for $1,500, we can design your cover and lay out your book and do all that. And then what happens mm-hmm. is that you got to look at where do they make their money. They make their money on selling books to you. So you then yeah. have to buy your books back, and then yeah. you know, and there's no royalty in that. They just print them up for you and make them real nice, and there you have your garage full of all your books. Now what are you going to do?
Yeah. Now what are you going to do with them? Here's your books.
Once had books delivered and nowhere to put them. So it's kind of these are just sort of things to think about and not be overwhelmed by, because the joys of walking into Barnes & Noble or, you know, another store, walking in and seeing your book on the shelf. The joy of being the author and giving lectures and having people do signings. The joy of doing podcasts and talking about your subject. You know, that's where you can kind of save the little stories, is don't put them in your book, because tell your stories to your best friend or your mother, but don't really write about them, because pretty much nobody cares unless it's really pertinent to a point you're making. Nobody, you know, wants a little mini memoir, but you can save that for your podcast, and you can save all those little tidbits. So what we want to do is get people excited about writing a book, but not disappointed because you walked into it not knowing how much there was to do.
Yes, and it's funny because I was up on Twitter right now. There's a post that came that was a first-time author, and she put up on Twitter that nobody came to my book signing. And then she had celebrity authors replying with their own, like, you know, two people showed up to my book event and all of this stuff. But it's really, you know, having nobody come to your book signing is somebody wasn't doing their job. You know, it's nobody was promoting it. Was no, you know, was it up online? Was it, you know, were there flyers put out for it? Again, it's like an appearance has to be marketed as well as your book.
Yes, yes, and don't go out and rent the ballroom at the Anaheim Convention Center and then order 1,000 books and stand there wondering where everybody is. You've got to have a serious publicist behind that and some money in for collaterals for handouts and for, you know, advertising. So, you know, I think people think, oh boy, I'll write a book and I'll make $1 million, and then Jessica Chastain will star in it, and, you know, I'll make all this money. Well, that's not true. It's a very hard sell, and you have to really learn about that. But the idea is, if you're going to go into, I think you have to put in 500 hours into researching your publishers or your agents, finding out what they're interested in, where have their successes been. You know, are they selling books about farming, or are they talking about psychology, and what is it that they specialize in? I mean, you know, you wouldn't go to a doctor and, you know, I always say, don't confuse a proctologist with a podiatrist, because you'll be very surprised. So
yes.
Know what the specialty of the publisher is. I think, and having said that, having set that up, I want to tell a true story. And this goes back to you. You had said to one of your authors, Raven Keyes, who wrote a book called Medical Reiki, and you said to her, oh, you should be on CAC's podcast, Healing, Medical Reiki, all that. Well, she was, and we had the best conversation and talk, and Raven had said to me, I'd love this to be a television show. Or I said that, one of us said that. And so we became fast friends. And Raven is now one of my dearest friends. And I have written a screenplay for her book, including all of her other books as well. And I'm going to rewrite it because I don't like it now, but that we have learned the path together. And, I mean, we must talk at least once a day. She lives part in England and part here. And we're just fast friends, and we're going to get this made as a feature film. We are going to do it. So that came out of, A, our writing skills, B, Llewellyn, and C, the fabulous Kat Neff. So it can happen.
Yes, it really can. And I remember you know, thinking about putting the two of you together, and it was just really exciting, because you're one of my favorite people, Kat, and Raven is also. I'm just so pleased that you had a great connection and that that's going to, you know, bear fruit, really, you know, bear fruit that was unexpected. And so that's very exciting. That's really
exciting. Well, that's
exciting.
And I know that Pam and Peggy were discovered by an agent in New York reading an article in a little Florida newspaper about an appearance they had done in Portland, Oregon. And he was, you know, he laughed, the Slob Sisters, how funny. And then he called them up and said, you know, would you guys like to write a book? So things like that do happen. Mm-hmm. You know, Lana Turner does get discovered at Schwab's drugstore. But I think we have to be realistic about what we're doing. And if anybody wants to call in, we've got 5 minutes left and we'll take your calls. You would call the number 845-277-9210. 845-277-9210. And Hercules, our producer, will pick up that line personally and patch you right in. So I just want to say that I think writing is a career, it's a vocation, and it's a calling. You have to want to do this more than you do anything else in the world.
Yes, that's absolutely true. And I think we've mentioned agents a couple of times. I'm going to touch base on that very, very quickly, because some publishers will require an agent represents you to present your book. And that's going to be probably some of the bigger publishers, but it's useful to perhaps check into whether a literary agent might be a good idea for you and for your particular book. So so that's something to think about. But just a literary agent, so you can Google them and then, you know, check out the reviews and that kind of thing. Or if you have an author friend. With Llewellyn, we actually don't require an agent. And part of it is that, you know, our in the mind, body, spirit realm, it's just like you happen across people, you know, just in the course of the day. And if we formalized it, it's just, you know, it just didn't make any sense. And Carl, you know, our founder, he was all about just like having direct access to the people, you know, so...
Yes. And I think that's, you know, that's great. But when you want an agent, you have to do a thing called a query, and you have to query them and say, I'm writing a book about XYZ and my expertise is, you know, LMQ, and I would like to talk to you or send you a presentation. Never send them a whole manuscript out front. You have to query them, because it's like, don't flood your agent. Don't make their job harder. Make it easy and write a clever log line. Write something very catchy that will catch their eye and say, maybe this is worth explaining. And then they'll get back to you and say, will you give me a synopsis, or do you have a book presentation? And if you have a book presentation, you better have already worked on it, because you want them to not forget you. Boom, you send it to them and it's there within 15 minutes, and then they can look at it and say, yeah, okay, this person is for real. You want people to think of you as for real.
Yes, and here's the thing, too, is that with an agent, it's not somebody you go out and hire. It's somebody who is on board with your, is really just like connects with the topic of your book and with you in order to represent you ably. You know, it's not, it's, you know, there'll be people you could probably hire, but you really want somebody who's got the access to the good publishers and who, and putting together that query is very important.
Yeah, and you want an agent to represent you that has a good reputation. I know when I was in the television business, I learned through some other people that if you think of your book or your TV show, whatever you're trying to sell, if you think of it as your baby and you want to find the best home for it, you're going to interview, you're going to do your research, and then you're going to interview that agent or that publisher to make sure they're going to be the best home for your child. And if you do your research, you're going to know that, and they're going to respect you for having done all that backlog of work, and they're going to appreciate you much more. You know, that's like, don't try and sell a tap dancing book to a publisher of murder mysteries. You know, Stephen King's agent isn't going to care about tap dancing for better health. So I think in doing that, you'll make yourself a more mature, professional author, and then they'll snap you up. Then you'll have great success, wonderful friends, be known worldwide, and, you know, your life as an author can begin beautifully.
Yes, that's exactly right, with all the preparation. But the preparation itself can be joyful. You know, when you're sitting down and saying, oh my gosh, I'm writing this book. And, you know, the proposal tells the person who's reading it about you, about your idea, and all of that. And that's very exciting. That's very exciting. So even though there's work, it's joyful work.
Yes. And I think you can Google how to write a book proposal online, and you can follow it. And don't be intimidated by it. Read all of that. Make it your own. Make it clever. Make it fun. Make it something that people are going to enjoy reading. And if you're lucky enough, you'll publish a book with Llewellyn, and you'll get Kat Neff as your marketing director. Answered prayer. Oh. That's answered prayer. So I think we can let you have one last thing to say, Kat, and then turn it over to Hercules.
Oh, gosh. Well, the one last thing I would say is that, you know, if you're writing a book, love your subject, do the best research on it, be able to stand behind the information that you're presenting, and best of luck to all of you aspiring writers.
Indeed. It can be done, and we want to see you in print. So follow what we had to say. Go back and re-listen to this. Take notes. Do your homework, and let us know if you have a book that comes out. We'd be thrilled. I'd be thrilled to have you on my show on The Art of Healing, and you can tell us your story. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Kat, for being a fabulous guest. Thank you, Hercules, for allowing us this time to be crazy. Love to all. Happy holidays. And, Hercules, it's back over to you.
Thank you. We had a call, we had an inquiry about making a call, but it came in too late. In fact, it just lit up on the board now. So we'll save that for next time. And I want to add to what you've shared that this very show would not exist if Kat Neff did not hook us up. I interviewed you for your Essential Oils book.
That's right.
So thanks to both of you. We have an awesome show every month.
Well, and Hercules, go ahead and forward me that number or that person, and I will personally talk to them. I'll call them back. No worries. Thank you all.
Okay, I will do so. Thank you.
And
Thanks to everybody who tuned in tonight. Whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, whether you called and you patiently waited in our queue, or whether you're going to check us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys, amazing adventures, and since it's a season, happy holidays. Good night, everybody, and thanks again, Kat and Kak.
Bye-bye.